Okay, we've talked to it with our next guest many times in the programme before. He's in studio with us this morning, John Mallon, who's a representative of Forest Éireann, which is the smokers' representative group, if you like. John, you were telling me a very interesting story off air, which I'd just like you to repeat without naming any particular establishment.
Names, but you know who you are.
You're from Cork. You're a proud Corkman. But you were driving from Cork.
I drove from Cork yesterday
to Sligo, which is a lengthy journey, isn't it?
A bit of a journey, all right.
Okay, over 5 hours. So tell us what happened when you arrived in Sligo.
When I was checking in, it occurred to me that what I'd like to do was take my laptop up to the room and do a bit of writing, a bit of work for the night. And I asked the lady if I could have a smoking room. And she gave me a look like I was asking for something most horrendous. And she said, oh, we don't have that around these parts. I don't like it one bit. And very snooty with me after that. And I suppose, really, it's what this tour is all about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This leads nicely into the reason you're touring, the reason which you are again.
Yeah,
you're making the bold statement and contention that smokers are now being branded as second-class citizens.
Yeah.
And already, I have to tell you, there's text coming in, presumably from smokers who agree with you. But what do you mean by that? That's overstating the case, is it not?
Well, not at all. In 2004, when this all started with the smoking ban, the Gardaí at the time said they wouldn't police the ban. So you have to think the smoking ban in pubs and restaurants and so on has been self-policing. And in the workplace, in offices and so on, it's self-policing. Smokers are voluntarily, out of respect for those around them, are voluntarily going outside. A lot of them don't believe the nonsense about secondhand smoke being as bad as radiation from a bomb.
I don't think it's nonsense, John. It's medically proven that secondhand smoke is very dangerous.
It isn't medically proven because there's a lot of conflict in that area. There are, in fact, more research projects that show, including the two largest ones ever done, that secondhand smoke is not something people should be concerned about at all. But given that, it's in now. But the smokers have been, and I hate the term smokers, they're just people who live an ordinary, normal, full life, who enjoy a cigarette instead of perhaps taking tablets or something else.
Yeah.
They use it to de-stress, they use it to relax. But they're nice people, and all of your listeners out there will know a smoker. There's over a million of us in the country. They're not bad, horrible people.
No, but I don't think anybody is suggesting that you're bad, horrible people.
Well, in fact, they
are. The concern, and the reason the smoking ban came in, is, well, it was to try and advise you and help you to give up smoking if you so wish, but there was more concern, was there not, for those who don't smoke and who choose not to smoke and the damage that was being caused to their health,
and they are
which is reasonable
and
enough.
They are being protected, and nobody is objecting to that. That's what I'm saying, and it's been voluntarily accepted by smokers. They've shown themselves to be very good citizens. But that has now, over several years, we've been attacked repeatedly in budgets. We've been attacked in the pocket. Mm. You talked about...
But you're not being... I mean, people... How can you be attacked in the budget? Is that not a prudent, responsible thing for our minister to do, is to take measures which are ultimately helping the medical condition of people in this country and safeguarding people's health?
Well, you see, if you took that to its natural conclusion, when I started smoking first, 20 cigarettes was 25 pence. The pint was 25 pence. Cigarettes are now 10.50. If you wanted to help people with their health, why don't you pump up the pint to 10.50? Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is we're being singled out for special treatment. And in repeated budgets, ministers, both of this government and the last, have stood up and called it a revenue collecting move by them. They've predicted an increase in revenue each time, and each time they've had a massive decrease. And in fact, it was the Journal newspaper that said that between this government and the last government, by increasing tobacco, they've actually lost €367 million in revenue. Where has that revenue gone? Well, of course, when you push any commodity up falsely up in price, you're inviting the criminal classes to fill the vacuum.
Okay, but this is a bit of a red herring, is it not,
no,
John?
How is it a red herring? What I'm saying is, if you're going to the shop each day to pay 10.50 for a packet of cigarettes that should cost €2.
But you're not seriously suggesting, have you ever bought cigarettes or tobacco on the black market? Do you know any of your friends or colleagues who have?
I know loads of friends and colleagues who have, I'll put it to you that way. Because if a packet of cigarettes is €4 from the boot of a fella's car, and they're 10.50 in the shop, what are you going to do? I mean, we discovered here during the Celtic Tiger,
presumably you're not going to break the law, God forbid.
Well, break the law. I don't know that it is an offence to buy them. I think it's an offence to sell them. But in the event, this has been, again, the last budget was a classic example. The cigarette smokers are the only people who were hit in the last budget. Everybody else got something back. Smokers were hit. And we repeatedly hear, for example, that smokers are a dreadful burden, a cost to society.
Yeah. Well, are. I mean, think of the cost of the HSE and the health service in this country.
In actual fact,
treating people with smoking-related illnesses.
Well, what is the smoking-related illness to start with? For, you know, there's no illness that's peculiar to smokers or unique to us. But at the Joint Committee hearing on health, held in Dublin, near the Dáil, and I was at it, the HSE were asked that directly, and their spokesperson on the day got up and said that they had calculated the annual cost to treat smoke-related illness, whatever that is, at £550 million a year. Now, the Revenue Commissioners at the same meeting were asked what was the revenue generated by smokers, and he said it was £1,200 million, £1.2 billion. So smokers are actually the only section in society who pay all of their medical bills, whether they have medical insurance or not. They cover all their medical costs, and the same again for everybody else.
Well, that's an interesting take on things. But this ostracisation, as you see it, and this being shunned from society, and as you suggested in the hotel when you arrived in Sligo, being looked at as if you were up to something untoward in your room.
Exactly.
So what? Get over it. It's no big deal, you know.
Well, nobody likes to be treated that way. It's a stigmatisation.
Nobody's stopping you smoking. If you want to smoke,
out into the rain and the cold, off you go. And that's an interesting one as well. If you remember on one of the trips I was in with you, Niall, it was the campaign for comfortable smoking rooms.
Yeah.
The publicans, a lot of them, were willing to create a comfortable smoking room. It was going to be separate from the bar. There was a lady at the time, actually, quite a well-known lady up in these parts in Donegal, who ran a pub, and she had outhouses across the yard at the back of the pub. So she took one of the larger ones, she put a carpet in, it was completely enclosed, she put tables, ashtrays, she had a telly in the corner, and in fact, the smoking police are not the Gardaí, they're not any arm of the state, they're actually people seconded from the HSE. And they went up and condemned it because their definition of a smoking room is that an area has to be open to the elements equal to the square floor area of the floor, effectively meaning it either has to have no roof or two walls missing. Now, there is absolutely no reason for that. She said that people were quite happy getting a coffee and taking their newspaper in there in the morning, and they were sitting in out of the rain and the cold, and she had to knock it down. She had to close it.
Well, just as an aside on that point, and there are a lot of people, I have to admit, there are a lot of our own staff, Ocean FM staff, who are smokers. And it has happened on occasions when we've been out socially that certain people who don't smoke, namely me, have been left sitting on their own for long periods of the night. And I hate to say it, I hate to admit it, but sometimes there's better fun and better crack in the smoking area. But anyway, that's just an aside.
That was actually said to me, that you couldn't have comfortable smoking rooms. So it was actually a gentleman rang in a morning programme, a radio programme, to say you couldn't have them because that's where all the fun would be, and then everyone would be forced to go out there. Well, for goodness sake, when we're going out in our free time, it's going out to have a bit of fun.
And I know this is we're being a bit less than serious about it, but another friend of mine who's a smoker says that it was the best place ever to hook up with members of the opposite sex in the smoking room. So there you go. But
at my age, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Neither would I. there's a couple of serious texts in. Pat agrees fully with you. Pat says, oh yes, smokers are treated very poorly, and we can thank Micheál Martin for that. Look at all the tax it brings into revenue. Exactly the point you were making. Your own county man, Micheál Martin, is responsible for this.
And I actually knew Micheál when he was Minister for Health, and I have to say this to you, he's a most impressive gentleman. I disagree with him vehemently on the smoking ban. I probably won't be voting Fianna Fáil, but in fact I have a grudging admiration for Micheál Martin and his capability, but I think he was quite wrong in this one. I think he really was wrong.
Alright, and I'd like you to address this one. This person says, as a cancer survivor who has spent a lot of time in oncology, it really annoys me to hear this man. I witnessed many people die from smoking-related cancer. He has a very flippant attitude towards the dangers of smoking. How do you respond to someone like
I'm
that?
I'm not at all flippant. And as a cancer survivor, I take my hat off to you. You're unlucky to get it. One in three people, we're told, around the world will get cancer one way or another, whether you smoke or not. There's a whole family of cancers. It's the lottery of life. You could die of cancer, you can die of a heart attack, you can die in a traffic accident. You can't spend your whole life thinking about dying. However, you were very unlucky to get cancer, and you have my sympathy on that score.
More callers ringing in. It's the smoke that people are annoyed about, not the smokers, the point that I was making a moment ago.
Cigarettes don't light themselves, you know.
Okay, well, what right has anyone to blow smoke around anyone else? Another caller says, if I don't want to eat meat, I won't. If I don't want to smoke, so I shouldn't have to be subjected to anyone near me smoking. It's a separate issue from what you're saying about how smokers are treated as second-class citizens. But again, it's that issue. What gives you, I mean, even in a hotel, what gives you the right to smoke in a room that tomorrow night somebody else will be staying in and has that smell of stale smoke?
Well, what hotels did always, and I was in a hotel all last week in Dublin, and I had a smoking room. They had four or five rooms set aside for people who smoke. And a smoker doesn't mind being in a room somebody else has smoked in. And in fact, when you open the windows and freshen them up, they're exactly the same when you get them anyway. So the smell of it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't bother another smoker. But, you know, it brings me on to an interesting point as well that I'd like to add, which is around these e-cigarettes. Yeah. Now, e-cigarettes came at a time when certain people in this country were calling for smoking to be denormalized. Now, you don't denormalize smoking, you denormalize the person who is smoking. That's what you're doing, in fact. And that's akin to an incitement to hatred. That's inviting people to hate the smoker. And there's calls for smoking to be banned in parks. I went to the CUH in Cork, a public hospital, to visit a friend who was in for quite a serious operation. And halfway through the visit, it stressed me looking at him, and he was in great pain. And I excused myself to go outside for a cigarette. Honest to goodness, if there wasn't somebody hassling me at the blooming door about outside.
I'm glad you raised that point. I was just coming to that, because there's a very, very good question in relation to that. What is John's views on the smoking ban in hospital and hospital grounds?
Well, I think they're very, very wrong. I think that people who smoke will tell you that it does de-stress them. It does relax them a little bit. It's a break. There are people in the same hospital, visiting the same hospital, who race across the road to the pub, the Wilton, for a bunch of pints. They get so stressed by it. But in reality, we're human, we're normal. And I think it's a most uncaring and petty thing for hospitals to do. They could have a shelter. They could have something nice set up outside where smokers will go. There's over 1 million of us. People will always smoke. People will quit and other people will start. People will always be smoking. And rather than attempting to denormalize us or have us seen to be something different or something wrong, I think we should be treated normally. And you talked earlier on about advice and encouragement and so on. This is force. This is stigmatization. This is sectioning us off for special treatment. That's what really this tour is all about.
All right. Well, just before I get to the reason for the tour, I'm sick and tired of asking you this question, but I'm forced to ask you. I mean, you're a mouthpiece for the cigarette companies, isn't that the case? Don't you get a fee from the cigarette companies for touring around the country?
No, I don't get a fee, but Forest gets funded to pay for it.
So how can you be credible when you're being funded by the industry?
We're the voice of the smoker. They're customers. Now, the stipend that's given to Forest in the UK is very modest by comparison, say, to the funding of the people who are anti-smoking. They're into the millions. We get our costs covered, our expenses covered, to try to give a voice to smokers, a unified voice to smokers, to try to give them a port of call. I get contacted by smokers all the time. They make different points to me and ask me to say things on the radio for them. I think that we perform a very valid function, because without us, you actually wouldn't hear. You won't get a government grant to represent smokers, that's for sure.
All right, okay. I asked that question because it comes up, as you know, you're well used to using. What's the point of the tour, John? What message? I mean, what's the point in in touring, in this case, the West of Ireland.
You hear a lot of people on radio talking about creating awareness. If you like, this is almost like trying to create a counter-awareness. Trying to say to people, look, you know smokers, we're not bad people, we're not abnormal, we shouldn't be denormalised, we shouldn't be treated badly. Certainly, as regards advice on quitting or so on, that's fine. But when we choose to quit then using e-cigarettes, which are singularly the best blooming thing you can do, when we choose to quit or cut down using those, we're condemned by those. I was using Irish Rail for quite a while, and then they banned smoking on the trains, and I stopped. I thought they used to have one carriage. Why they never had it at the back of the train is beyond me. And I stopped, and then the e-cigarettes came along, and I thought, great. So I started using the train again, using the e-cigarette, and then, goodness, they banned that.
Okay.
And there is absolutely no grounds at all, and now they're trying to ban us smoking outdoors.
Okay. Are you still smoking, or are you on the e-cigarettes?
I'm doing a bit of both.
Okay. Do you have a desire to give up smoking?
Do you know a funny thing? I don't have a desire to give up altogether. It's like over the years, Niall, I'm sure you're the same. I found myself getting overweight. It crept up on me. Mm-hmm. So I did something about that. I found myself for one period drinking far too much. Again, it crept up on me. And I had to stop and give that up for a while and start all over again and get it under control. It's really the same with smoking. I enjoy a smoke, but I'm aware that 40 cigarettes a day is far too much. I've had two doctors tell me in my lifetime to keep it under 10 and your body repairs any damage that you do during the day over a night's sleep.
And that's what you would smoke when you are on...
I try to stay under 10, as few as possible. Okay. So the e-cigarette's a good way to offset.
Okay, how much is a pack of 20 cigarettes now?
They're €10.50 now. €2 is the cost of the cigarettes.
Spending, what, €22 a day on cigarettes?
No, I don't go down that route. Once a year on a foreign holiday, I buy a year's supply of rolled tobacco. It costs about €200 a year.
That's the point I was going to make. You could afford three foreign holidays if you gave them up altogether. It's not as simple as that,
no,
I know.
No, it's €200 a year would be my cost of smoking.
Right, okay, a couple of texts before we finish, John. Someone says the smoking ban should be lifted except in hospitals and churches, but they should be allowed in all pubs and restaurants. That's where we like the fags. Someone else says John is in total denial of his addiction and the damage it does. How does John feel about expectant mothers smoking? You pay for a room in a hotel and your room is your home for the night. All hotels should have smoking rooms, says someone else. And another caller says a caller stays in a hotel in Dublin and they don't have smoking rooms, so Sligo's not an exception.
No, I'm not suggesting Sligo's an exception. I was telling you the story and you wanted me to recount it on air. It was the fact they didn't have a smoking room. I had a choice. I could have just turned around and headed off into Sligo and found somewhere that did. But that really wasn't the point. It was the disapproving attitude, and I was suddenly a bad person.
Yeah.
Lady didn't even know me.
Okay, you said in your press release you feel in some cases you're being compared to drink drivers.
Yeah, but any sort of criminal. Remember, smoking is legal in this country. We're in an interesting scenario now where there's a creeping prohibition on smoking when they're trying to stop you smoking outdoors. Well, where the hell are you supposed to? But at the same time they're doing that, they're talking about legalising marijuana, legalising the possession of heroin and cocaine, and introducing injection rooms for addicts and giving them free methadone.
Yeah.
You know,
we were talking about that this morning.
No, I'm not disapproving necessarily of that. What I'm saying is, we're the legal ones. We're the ones that are covering all our health costs. We're the ones that, and yet stigmatised for enjoying a cigarette.
All right, okay, I'll finish with this comment, and it's a stark one from a caller saying, smoking is bad for your health, end of story. I was a smoker, I ended up with having part of my lung taken away. I wish I never lit up in the first place.
Valid point.
And it's not really the reason you're here today to talk about that. You acknowledge that is the case, but you're saying you should have free choice.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't be condemned, as you say, as second-class citizens.
Exactly.
John, as ever, thanks for coming in.
It's an interesting
discussion. John Molander of Forest Éireann, who's currently on a tour of the region. We'll take a quick break, 12 minutes to 11 now.
Ocean FM, Northwest Today, with thanks to McCormick.